Network proudly presents The Jay Clay Show. Your host, CyberGolf.com's own Jay Clemmer, and co-starring a galaxy of the golf and sports world's greatest names that special. Yo, 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 this is your main man, DJ Q, telling you to put your hands together for your friend and mine, Jay Clemmer.
All right, thank you, DJ Q, for bringing us into the show in style. He is absolutely right. I'm Jay Flemma, and you're listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network. Jay's Plays is brought to you by JB's Best Hot Sauce. And the only thing better than how good it tastes and how hot it is and how spicy it is that it's made by a golf writer. John Berwa used to cover major championships for PGA.com, and now he lives his dream, bringing hot sauce to the world. It's on every table in the Deep South, should be on yours. When it says JB's, it's the best. All right, welcome everybody. Glad to have you. The PGA Tour season is in full swing, as is the LPGA Tour season, and so we are going to bring in one of our favorite correspondents. Please give a warm Jay's Plays welcome back to Global Golf Post's own Steve Eubanks.
Hey, Jay. Good to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you. Welcome to the golf season 2018.
It's great. Yeah, you know, with the wraparound season, you kind of feel like we're already halfway into it. But to me, the season always starts in Hawaii. It's just tradition for me, and I start paying attention again when they head out to the island. So we're in full swing now. It's wonderful, and we started the Florida swing this week. So it's great for me to be back on the East Coast.
I agree with you exactly. Yes, I know it's a wraparound season, but I first start to get the inkling when I see the boys in Hawaii. I start to get a little bit more excited when I see them in California. And then as we make our way towards the Masters, well, that's when spring has sprung. You know, it's a little bit different for me up here in the north. Okay, we still have a little snow on the ground. You good folks in Georgia get to play a lot earlier and a lot later than we do. So happily, your season's a lot longer than ours. But the PGA Tour season's gotten off to a really good start. We've had some very popular winners. We've had a couple of really exciting tournaments. So why don't you tell us what your highlights of the year have been so far?
I think my highlight of the year was seeing Dustin Johnson come back out in Hawaii at Kapalua and win the way he won. I mean, you talk about somebody that just came out and completely dominated. Not just dominated the field, but dominated that golf course. I mean, that's a very, very difficult golf course. And some of the lines that he took and some of the shots that he hit were breathtaking. And I think that's why people tune in. That's what people tune in to watch. They want to see the greatest golfers in the world do things that seem superhuman. With DJ at Kapalua, that's exactly what we got. So, beyond that, now you've had some really wonderful winners. You know, you got Jason Day's already won. You got John Rahm's already won. Bubba last week in L.A., you know, proving that he's back. So, I mean, to me, it's a, you know, it's a wide open season, and it's been a great season.
Now, tell us a little bit about the Florida swing coming up.
Well, I think the great thing about it is, you know, you start with the Honda Classic at PGA National, which has, of course, the bear trap, the final three holes. And that has become, you know, kind of a civilized Phoenix Open East because.
Yeah. Oh, Lord help us. Yeah. Is there such a thing as a civilized Phoenix Open?
Yeah, it's. Well, what happens is from the 16th all the way to the 18th, it's just one constant tent. I mean, you have the hospitality tent. No, occasionally. I mean, it's a stream of them. So it's almost like you're playing stadium golf in an actual stadium at that point. Because as you come down that whole track, you're playing, you know, you've got one of the tents has got, they're giving away Kahlua, and one of them is, a veterans tent, and you know it's wonderful because each spot on the on that little stretch has got various fan groups that are going to be out there cheering for you. So it's, you know, it, like I say, it's not quite as wild as Phoenix, but it's got that same exciting vibe.
And then we follow that up with weeks at Copperhead and Bay Hill as well.
Yeah, we, you know, there's a couple of weeks there. You know, we no longer go to Doral, so we're in Mexico, and then Puerto Rico. But then after that, we're back at Innisbrook, a wonderful golf course. Copperhead, for those who have never been to Innisbrook, which is just outside of Tampa, it's one of those areas of the country where unless you're specifically going to that golf course, you would never in a million years stop there. But when you do go through the gates and see the quality of the golf that's out there, it's tremendous and certainly worth everybody's a trip that everybody should make. And then, of course, back to Bay Hill for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. You know, I worry, Jay, at this stage with Arnold having been gone a couple of years now, what the Arnold Palmer Invitational will eventually become. No field has been announced yet. But, you know, people came because it was Arnold's event, just as people played the Byron Nelson because Byron was there. And I'm afraid that with it, with Arnold no longer around, that may be one that ends up being on the skip list for a lot of players. I would hate to see it, but it could be the case.
If the PGA Tour wanted, they could get the media to help get behind making sure that that doesn't happen.
I think so, but it would be difficult because these players are all independent contractors. They're sitting there making their schedule, and they're like, okay, I've got a WGC event in Mexico, and then I'm going to play one other event before there's another WGC event. Do I go to Tampa? Do I go to Orlando? Do I go to Puerto Rico? You know, so there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of that kind of jostling going on. And then, of course, you've got the Masters coming up. So people are always trying to work their schedule around what they're going to play prior to the Masters.
Well, you know, all of those things are true, yet at the same time, if you throw enough money and FedEx Cup points at it and raise its stature even further, such as, say, the World Golf Championships have tried to do, if you make it attractive enough, it will become enough of an attraction to keep the best players coming. It's sad to say that they have to be attracted to something more than just Arnie's name. Now, one of the things I will throw out there, though, is, you know, as much as we love Arnie, and as much as Bay Hill was his home, Bay Hill doesn't exactly hit the top of the list for even just the state of Florida when it comes to golf courses.
You know, and that has a lot to do with it. I mean, the legacy of Arnold Palmer can only carry you so far. At some point, it's got to be, I like this golf course or I don't. And quite frankly, I mean, in Orlando proper, it's just not one that hits very high on the list. It's a fine golf course. But quite frankly, it's a little boring.
Okay, I think that the fans would have a much better list of golf courses to play while they were out there watching the pros. For example, while you're out in Tampa, you can play Worldwoods or you can play Stream Song.
Yeah, making that trek to Stream Song is certainly worth the time and effort. But for those who haven't done it, it is incredible. So,
They now have three courses, Coren Crenshaw, Doak, and Gilhance. Each one of them is true to the experience in the UK as you're going to get. A windswept, sandy plot. It's out in the middle of nowhere. Granted, it's very pricey. It's as pricey or more than Bay Hill, which is also really expensive, comparatively. But Worldwoods is near there, too, and I believe that's Tom Fazio's best design. And it was the prototype for all of those Pine Valley knockoff courses that he and others started to do. But there's two courses at Worldwoods, one called Pine Barrens, which is the Pine Valley sort of look-alike, and then another one called Rolling Oaks, and you can play 36 there for a really reasonable rate. That's one of those places where it's a bargain all day long.
Sure, absolutely, and again, there's plenty of stuff around there to do,
But, you know, going out and experiencing the golf course at Copperhead, if you're even as a spectator, it's really, really good. So, and it'll make you want to come back to Innisbrook.
All right, now let's talk a little bit about, we've seen who the winners have been this year on the PGA Tour. Other than the people that have already won, who do you think are the next three or four guys that are going to break through and win in the next couple weeks as we lead up to the Masters? Who have you got your eye on?
Ricky Fowler. I like the way Ricky Fowler is playing right now. I think that he, you know, he's of course the defending champion this week, so I like where the state of his game, and I like his temperament at this point. And I think all of the things in his personal life have turned in his favor. He's really kind of gotten settling down now. He's quite happy, and he's able to focus on golf. And so I see him really coming through and breaking out fairly soon. And, you know, I think that we haven't seen the last of Jordan Spieth. I think leading up to the Masters, his favorite tournament, and one that he's let get away a couple of years, he definitely wants to come back and do that. So he's the next one that I would say, as we get closer to April, keep your eye on him.
And how about some of the rookies or younger players? Who do you have your eye on as a sleeper pick, someone to watch coming up through the ranks?
Someone to watch coming up through the ranks. That's a good question, Jay. I mean, obviously, John Rahm's already broken out as a winner, so we know he's going to be a superstar. The question becomes, with Rahm is always, you know, is he going to be able to control his temper and his temperament? I haven't seen that many clubs slammed into the ground since Tiger Woods was in his prime. But, you know, you've got to be able to keep the head on your shoulders. And if he is able to do that, then I think we're going to see a lot of him.
He is an incendiary talent and an incendiary temper as well. But it was quite a performance he put on at La Quinta when he broke through and won. And of course, I guess no discussion of the PGA Tour is complete without talking at least a little bit about Tiger's comeback. You and I are sort of a little bit on the same side of the fence on this, in that we're the ones that are shouting reasonableness and everybody keep a bit of a level head about this, while a lot of people are running around in full headless chicken mode.
They really are, and I gotta tell you, when I glance up at the Golf Channel and hear all the breathless commentary about Tiger hitting wedges on the driving range, I'm kind of shaking my head going, come on, guys. I mean, there are tons of players right now who are playing fantastic golf, and, you know, I get it. He's a once-in-a-generation player, and what he did, and I was thankful to be out there to see most of it, was extraordinary. But the man's 42 years old now. If he had been perfectly healthy, he would have been past his prime. And the fact that he has not been perfectly healthy, has been far from it, leads me to believe that this comeback is nostalgic at best.
Now, I want to pick your brain on one particular point where I had an interesting discussion with one of our colleagues. Again, he was heaping hagiographic hero worship all over Tiger. And at one point I opined that he had an excuse for every occasion. My favorite one being this, and you tell me whether or not you think this is a true statement. After the second drive of Tiger's went dead left again at Torrey Pines, he tweeted out, "That's okay, nobody gets worse first tee jitters than Tiger Woods does." True statement or not, Tiger Woods gets worse first tee jitters than anyone.
Maybe now, certainly not in his prime. I gotta tell you, I mean, I've never seen a guy that was more focused on the first tee than Tiger Woods when he was winning major championships. And he ripped shots. I mean, this is not something that was, when I saw him winning U.S. Opens, Masters, and Open Championships, I mean, he would stand on that first tee and just stripe it down the middle. It was usually his best tee shot of the day because he wanted to intimidate everybody.
Exactly. Okay, he would also come walking on in with the death stare. Okay, a look that would kill. And so, I don't know, I do not believe that Tiger Woods got first tee jitters all of his career. I do understand, though, that what you're saying, and that right now the era of invincibility has, you know, gone from him. And that's a completely different thing that he's got to get used to. And a little bit of uncertainty, sure. So we're seeing a completely different Tiger, but how do you explain that his average driving distance was 325 yards the last two tournaments that he's been in?
Because basically that's measured off of the six fairways that he hit. And so I mean, he's going at it at 100%. If you've seen some of these swings that he's taking, it looks like he's in the World Long Drive Championship, the way he's going after it. So I'm sitting there questioning, I'm looking at myself thinking, okay, are you just doing this for the cameras? What in the world is going on here that would make you go at a tee shot that hard? I mean, it's a Thursday, for goodness sake. Stop it. You know, isn't it? But if I were Joey LaCava at some point, I think I'd hand him a two iron and say, hey, bro, let's see if we can't get one in the fairway.
Well, also, did you see just today he made a comment about how he's able to swing the driver with one arm now and finish with one arm? And I just found that absolutely staggering that, you know, this, we've got this new type of golf swing now where we're going to be able to finish with one arm and generate both power and accuracy.
I don't know. I put that one right up there with the glutes firing. I mean, I think that's kind of
I have to agree. That definitely makes the pantheon of great woodsisms.
This one is right up there with this is all Blarney, and I'm going to say it knowing that it's Blarney, and you know that it's Blarney, and I know that you know that it's Blarney, but I'm going to say it anyway, and you're going to write it. So,
and you're going to pass it on as though it was gospel. Well, we're going to come back from a short break, everybody. We're going to talk a little bit about the LPGA. We're also going to talk about Jack Nicklaus's ideas regarding rolling back the ball. And we're going to have the trivia question. Hopefully, Steve's going to get a chance for himself a bottle of hot sauce. My name's Jay Flemma. Steve Eubanks is my guest on the Jay's Play Show on the Golf News Net Radio Network.
That bump music means we're going to have to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be back at the second half of the show in just a minute.
This is your main man, DJ Q, and you're listening to Jay's Place on the Golf News Net Radio Network.